Why do they say that this morning? Mr. Quimby, what do you got a hold of?
Oh, I got a couple of interesting things here.
Okay.
A feather in his cap. Where did we get the expression, a feather in his cap? The American Indian who added a new feather to his headgear. For every enemy slain was the father of this phrase. Same procedure has been followed by many other races and nations. But here's a good one. Fiasco. How did a complete failure come to be called a fiasco?
Was it somebody's name?
The making of a fine Venetian glass bottle is a difficult process, for it must be perfect. If in blowing, the slightest flaw is detected, the glassblower turns the bottle into a common flask. In Italian, fiasco.
Oh.
Common flask.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Get a lemon, make lemonades.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Just don't forget the sugar.
Don't forget the sugar. That's right.
Oh. Communication styles. It seems as if...
I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Or see it, or feel it, or, yeah.
Communication style.
Everybody's got, I guess, their own preferred.
Their own what?
Preferred style of communication.
Oh, yeah.
Texting versus emailing. Okay.
Oh, you're talking about media now.
Well, or just...
Text, media, written.
Yeah, those various...
Letters, notes.
Is it accurate?
Probably.
That everybody has a predilection based on familiarity rather than
mostly.
On efficiency?
Mostly, yeah.
So how do you know if your preferred is the most effective form of communication?
Well, it depends on if you get results.
Positive results. Desired results or
desired
just reaction?
Desired results. Everything gets a reaction. Desired results. People listen for two reasons. To understand... or to respond. So if you're responding, that means you're talking out of your head, your predilections. If you're listening to understand, then you start asking questions about what they're saying to you to increase your understanding of the context, the big picture, the larger picture, the more elements there are to what it is they're talking about. So people listen to respond often will take the first emotional clue they get and run with that.
Like the first sentence of the paragraph?
Yeah.
Instead of reading the whole paragraph?
Yeah. And they think that the précis is the context, but it's not. It's just a summary. And summaries leave a lot of things out, which are important. So if you're listening to understand, then you have to learn how to ask questions.
Actively listen, too.
Right. Listen for openings or gaps.
Now, I know over the years you've said one of the most powerful, insightful responses is, tell me more, why,
et
cetera. I don't think I have ever seen that in an email.
No.
It's, okay, so now are there a different set of rules? For written communication
face-to-face
versus verbal?
Well, that's interesting. Texting can cause great problems because it's essentially simplified in many ways. And people get into long, protracted emails based upon reactivity and responsiveness rather than understanding. So I've had clients who talk about the rants that they have received in emails, just pages long. And my thumbs get tired. I can't even do that, let alone read somebody else's rant, which is just all emotional nothing. It's me. And there's no understanding to it. There's no relationship to it. They take a trigger from somebody else's email statement or experience, and they run with their own reactivity to it, and that can generate a small book when you get down to
it. Or a big one.
Or a big one, yeah. Yeah. Doesn't go anywhere, though. Just round and round and round circles.
One of the thoughts I have, you know, when we were writing letters, they were composed.
Yeah.
So you thought about it, you reflected on it, you made sure. and then you put together a cogent thought, hopefully, through the whole whole document.
Yeah.
Okay. Now with emails, it's much more responsive, reactive.
Yeah.
We don't really reflect too much. We certainly aren't spending as much time with an email as we would with a handwritten letter.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. Texting is even more abbreviated than that. And I'm wondering, with this
speed,
new emphasis into quick response, not face-to-face.
Quick response, yeah.
Are we going to lose the ability to communicate, or is everything going to be so polarized that we don't get the details because we're not interested in the details? We want the flash.
The flash, yeah.
And
that's the feeling.
Everybody goes off with half an idea, and there's really no need for that.
I've been thinking about the email trolls that pick up on some bit of flash or feeling and then open up pages of email about it. In the old days, when it was face-to-face, that would start a fight, a physical fight. So this has calmed down, and now it's an emotional fight on the in the email. The consequences of which have to do with the next time that people meet. Now, if this generates not getting together ever, so I'm never going to talk to that person again, then nothing happens. They just close the door, walk away. But if they do get together next time, then there's going to be a verbal engagement, which may or may not lead to violence. But usually, after people do a page or two of vitriol in the email, they've lost their incentive to do violence.
And right, because time will...
It calms down.
Buffer, yeah.
It drains the swamp a little.
It's also 8:19.
Indeed.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the Simple Country Therapist, Lou Quimby.
No, I appreciate the intro. Heavy on the simple.
What else would you want me to say? the concept with the communication face-to-face.
Yeah.
We're talking. Okay, I think everybody pretty much agrees that an overwhelming majority of communication between people face-to-face is nonverbal. Okay,
there's an awful lot of signs in
you
there.
You can get that feedback, if you will.
Yeah.
Not so much on a computer or on a cell phone.
True.
<It's> really tough.
Right, face to face.
So I'm wondering.
That's why Skype is
better,
popular.
But yeah. With some of the miscommunication that does happen now, instead of taking care of it, it lingers and can either build up or not. So the next time, now we're not listening to each other. Now we're already coming in clenched fist.
People want to
no
be
wiggle right. Room.
People
okay, now tell
right.
me why.
People want to be right. They want to be on top. They don't want to argue like that.
Well, and some carry grudges.
Oh. Yeah, that's
that may not be founded in anything that's actual.
I don't care about your facts. Don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up. And
sounds like journalism in the 1900s.
That's a definite get nowhere. Don't confuse me with facts. My mind's made up. Which means I've got a preconceived notion, preconceived attitude. Attitudes are the hardest to change because they're a combination of feelings, data, and opinion. parent, adult, and child. It's all three are represented in an attitude. That's the hardest to change. So the reason that most people change that part of their attitude is if they're confronted with some overwhelming experience that gets them to change their mind about the external world. So you grow up with a mindset about what's right and wrong, what could and couldn't be, what should and shouldn't be.
Almost cast in concrete.
And if those are cast in concrete, then that's how you enter the world when you're 18, 19, 20. And there's no flexibility to speak of. And if you meet a boss or an employer whose experience is different than yours, you can either get fired or quit if you're really hard-nosed about those things. So,
and same, I would suspect, with spouse or potential spouse.
Yeah, yeah,
same scenarios,
that's dating is short and gone. So if you're dipped in concrete, as it were, then life is a series of bumping your heads into hard objects, other people's opinions and experience. So that's why I talk about listening as a skill, and the first skill in listening is asking questions. And one of the interesting questions to ask that sometimes gets you weird answers is, why is that important to you? Well, my dad always said like that. Or my mom taught me at her knee that if I said this, then that bad things are going to happen, so I never say that. Or my mom taught me to always stick up for my beliefs. Whatever that means. Usually it means a fight of some sort. But why is that important to you is a curious question that often gets the person irrelevant answer, circuitous answer, defensive answer, none of your business.
Well, and I would suspect because in a percentage of those situations, they don't know.
They can't put it clearly.
I'm not sure why.
Can't purely put it into words. Then you know that they have an attitude that has been formed early in childhood somewhere that is not founded on good data or external circumstances, but it's attitude based upon opinion, starting with opinion. They may have a few facts to back them up, but sometimes the facts that back them up are distorted. And if you look at politics, you can hear, see distorted facts all the time, which are a tough way to run a country, I'll tell you that. So,
not sure I want to trade it in for a dictatorship, however.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah. So, but it is interesting, not only communication styles, but interest in communication.
No, it's fascinating, all right.
You know, whether it's or not anybody cares about
it. It's definitely engaging.
Yeah. So as we start to figure this stuff out as an individual, whether it's a new family setting, new relationship, new employment status.
Yeah.
Okay. What was may not be what is.
No, that's for sure.
Uh-oh. How do we start over gingerly, gently, with a kumbaya feeling of wholeness?
With politeness helps. What can I do for you? What do you want me to do?
Inquiry.
In terms of employment, yes. What are the job specifications? Oh, I don't know. Just do the best you can.
That's an interesting standard to hit.
Whatever that means, do the best you can. Okay. I'll just sit down here for a few minutes and take stock. An hour later.
Yeah, I know we're kind of coming up to a break, but I wanted to ask this while it's still
fresh
in my head. Yeah. What's more critical in that scenario to provide the information? The listener to hear or the sender to send?
Well, I work with them both. And it depends on who I'm working with. If it's me in a situation with somebody who wants to impose their ideas on me, then I ask those questions about why is that important to you. And if they can't come up with anything, then I have to make another decision.
That normally involves a break. Hey, we're going to it. It's 8:30.
Hey.
As a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, American Ag Credit.
So if I'm working...
Hold on. Humboldt Termite and Murphy's Markets. Okay.
I beg your pardon. I love
Murphy. Now, before the break, we were talking about the sender of the message receiver of the message.
Let's talk about Murphy's Market for a moment.
I'm hungry.
Good meat department. Anyhow.
So the message sometimes... let's use our scenario. Well... you know, do what you're supposed to do.
If I got a couple, and one is listening to understand, the other one is talking to command, then I got them both there. Then I talk to the one who is listening to understand, teaching them how to ask questions. And the first question would be, why is that important to you? Or, keep your voice down, don't yell at me. Or, teach them, the listener, not to pay attention to the process, which is the loud yelling, and just listen to the words. And if you respond to the words, then you have to start thinking. And if people are married or are couples together, they have some investment, or they wouldn't be there with me in the first place, to make the relationship better, improve, change. So they have to learn to listen to understand, which means asking questions. Then after questions, for a couple, comes agreements.
My turn?
Your turn.
Okay,
I'm sorry.
Writing my notes, so I didn't forget it entirely. Is someone who is a listener, do they tend to be the listener in all relationships? Or if one is the, you said commander, the person attempting to be listened to or have their message listened to, do they tend to take that role in all of their situations or interactions? Or does it tend to be specific? To individuals. So
it depends. There's a lot of circumstances I see where it's boy-girl stuff. And he's working hard all day long, either physical work or mental work or emotional work. And he puts his energy into it all day long. And he comes home, and then he just wants to tell people what to do. Instead of listening to understand, he wants to tell people what to do. Which is just three kinds of lives. There's a public life, a private life, and a secret life. So frequently the public life and the private life are different. Everybody's got a secret life. But the public life and the private life are different, where the public life is easygoing, laid back, understanding, efficient, gets the job done, blah, blah, blah. Which means that every time they get angry in public, they suppress it. Every time they get irritated, they suppress it. So when they come home, sometimes, because they've married somebody that they can push around, and then after a while, she gets angry enough to say enough. And he goes, what, huh? You're changing the contract. And then they have to come to somebody to understand what's going on and how it needs to change. So the guy who's easygoing, laid back, and all nice and good and sweet and beautiful in his public life has to learn how to say no with clarity. My belief system has to learn how to say no with clarity and has to tell people what to do with some clarity. For example, if somebody is abusing you verbally, it's useful to say, stop that, or don't talk to me that way, as opposed to avoiding, dancing around, shifting your position, rather than confronting. So confrontation, the risk of confrontation is some people aren't going to like it. Well, duh. Well, if you protect yourself from being abused by abusers, the abusers are going to lose power. And when abusers lose power, they want it back. And so they ramp up the abuse. It's not a good idea.
So most folks that are doing the abusive action verbally, they recognize that?
Do they recognize it? No.
Is it subconscious? Is it learned?
Oh, it's a lot of it is background attitude learned in childhood. Either parents model or the kid is just a active, pushy little kid, you know, by birth. Ask women. All kids come out of the chute differently. And some kids are little pushy guys, and some kids are nice, laid-back guys. And if you got a little pushy guy, and the parents are okay, but they learn that they can push kids around in the school ground, steal the lunch money or steal their lunch, or go through lunch, take what they want, and give the other stuff back, etc., then those kids, independently from parents, learn how to be dominant and domineering.
So that becomes their primary operational mode.
To get what they want, yeah. So the kids can turn out that way independent of parents and parenting. Sometimes the first time the parents get an idea about that is in the first grade when they have a parent-teacher conference. And the parents go, what? He's doing what on the recess? He's not like that at home, and he may not be that way at home, right? So then you got a problem, complex problem. If the kid is like that because of the parents' attitudes, it's not a complex problem. All you have to do is
is
talk to the parents about their understanding about how to deal with conflict, how to get what you want. And you cannot always have what you want. There are times when you get to go without, period.
Yeah, 100% is not
ask any grown-up.
Yeah.
You have to control your, I want that.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:40.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to L.A. will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like L.A. is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:45. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Lou Quimby. Lou, so when the dynamic changes, if that's the goal, then how does that become a habit? Let's say you're the receiver and you want to not be dominated routinely by others in conversation. You want to be more on a level playing field.
Yeah.
How do you practice that skill set so that it becomes a habit rather than extraordinary? It just happens instead of having to be thought out and almost work at it.
That's how you do it, is you think it out and you work at it and you make a decision that you're going to confront those things. So what you can do for your individual self is figure out a number of questions that you're emotionally and intellectually comfortable with so that you're not pushing anything strange, weird, or bizarre that you can ask people when they're confronting or when they're giving you a hard time or they're beating up on you. Is you can ask a series of questions, and you write them down, and you look at them, and you think about them over and over again. Why is this important to you? What do you want from me?
Why would you say that?
Why would you say that?
Yeah.
Do you say that to everybody that questions your authority? Or is it just me, because I'm a dick? So be careful about the questions you ask. Why are you such a blah, blah, blah?
Right.
It's not a question.
No, that's criticism. An escalation moment.
it's badly camouflaged criticism. Why are you such a blank blank?
Right.
Yeah. That's criticism, not a question. So the questions have to go to the other person's motivation. Why do you want control of this circumstance? And they may have a good answer. In terms of health and safety, they may.
Because I see where the lighthouse is.
Yeah. Right. They may be outraged about some circumstance that they know if they control it, they can change it to make things safer. Look at the school shootings and what the school officials are doing. Sometimes they get an armed guard there. Sometimes they shut the school down. Sometimes they set up electronic ring around the school and with cameras and whatnot. And some of them have now. Some of them have automatic lockdown, literally a lockdown.
Kind of like they have in the jails. Boom, one push button.
One push button, yeah. Bang, all the doors are locked. Yeah. So some people can get very emphatic about health and safety issues, for example. The thing about vaccines causing autism, people still believe it. It took years to get the initial outrage down, or the initial belief in it down. And it still comes up from time to time.
You mentioned outrage. It flashed to that. People who get outraged when someone questions their opinion.
Oh.
And I suppose that's a special situation there. There's something going at work. Well, but when it gets to that elevated level, that's interesting. Tell me more. That's not an issue for them. They'll tell you and tell you and tell you.
There's two kinds of authority. External authority, how you're known by name, title, achievement, or design. Then there's internal authority, how you think, feel, and believe about yourself. And I tell clients, if you question authority and they cannot explain why they do what they do and what their justification for it is, then you need to run away. Run, don't walk. So if you question a therapist and they say, I'll ask the questions.
Yeah.
Oh, that means the therapist doesn't understand their own authority, and they don't have it firmly tamped down inside themselves. So it's pretty easy. All you have to do is talk about why you believe what you believe in and what your experience, education, training, and background is.
Normal discussion.
Yeah.
And if somebody else is going to be at the elevated levels of passion, don't worry about it.
Simmer down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Words of wisdom.
Thank you.
To take into the next couple of moments of life.
You're too kind.
Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
See you everybody tomorrow.